Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now celebrating 17 years of broadcasting success, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, both for our radio audience here in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com. We're glad that you all could be with us. Also, those joining us through our online affiliates around the world, we're glad you all could tune in as well. You know, we all have heard the saying, you know, if something seems too good to be true, it probably is. But that rule does not seem to apply to everyone when it comes to things they may find online. Our next guest has done a lot of research on this topic and given us now a great book. We're excited to welcome Gabrielle Bluestone to our program. Her book is called Hype, How Scammers, Grifters, and Con Artists Are Taking Over the Internet and Why We're Following. We'll talk to Gabrielle not only about what made her write the book, but also what it's been like for her to see the early response to it already. Gabrielle, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me.
So this is a really interesting topic, Gabrielle, and of course there's a lot of different isolated events that you kind of chronicle in the book, but I think the big theme for me was, just like I just said, that a lot of times, you know, when it comes to things we see online, people are a lot more quick to follow things that even though something may not seem quite right because we see it and there's hype about it, to kind of go with the title of the book, that they're quick to follow it even to their own demise. What was it like for you to kind of look at these different examples and how people did go for things that maybe if it was offline, they wouldn't have gotten suckered into?
Well, it was kind of shocking to realize just how susceptible we are to hype and to these shortcuts that we've accepted in lieu of the real thing. So whether that's having the right influencer endorse a product or it has the right looking reviews. Often as consumers, we don't really look that much further beyond it, even though we know in our hearts, you know, it's very easy to fall for things on the internet. I think we kind of, you mentioned if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Unfortunately, we kind of talk ourselves into believing that this might be the exception to the rule.
Yeah. There's a great quote that's in the book, Hype, Gabrielle, that you're quoting, I think, from another book, Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion, where it said, it's not about the product per se, it's really about the hype being magnified by social media. And you give different examples, people who start their own companies on, you know, on one of these sites like DoorDash, that's not really a real company, or even, you know, these bigger situations, sometimes even finding ourselves finding its way into politics. What was that like for you to kind of look at the different ways that social media, even though it has a lot of good points, has kind of added to this thing about hype?
Well, you know, part of it is very funny. The example you cited, somebody wanted to see just how easy it would be to have, you know, a popular restaurant on Uber Eats. So they created an account. They went to their local supermarket. They bought some frozen pizzas and opened up shop as a pizza store. And, you know, people were placing orders. It really didn't take very much to get that going. One of my favorite examples is someone in the UK who managed to get their backyard shed as the top-rated restaurant on TripAdvisor for a period of time. And, you know, it really doesn't, again, it doesn't take much to convince the public that what you have is a real thing. And once you convince a few people, that's really all you need. Then they do all the work for you. And, you know, you see that offline, too. One of the things that I found really surprising while researching this book is that although the internet definitely acts as an accelerant, you know, you saw the same thing happen with, say, Theranos and Elizabeth Holmes. I mean, she created a multi-billion dollar company around a product that never existed, but she had Henry Kissinger on her board, and she had, you know, professionally wealthy people like the Waltons associated. And so once you have those kind of influencers involved, people don't really tend to do much investigating on their own.
You bring up a really good point, and this is something that I have seen, but you, the way you put it in the book, especially about the festival that you referenced quite a bit in Hype, Gabrielle, is that it only takes one person sometimes, right? One person with influence to say, you know what, this isn't right, or this is not what it is, and it could shut things down. I love that. When I got to that part of the book, I thought, you know what, I think if we did have that, but unfortunately a lot of times we don't for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, money, ego, or, you know, the idea of someone, you know, admitting that they themselves have been duped. What was that like for you to kind of look at the fact that there are people in these different places, like you mentioned with Theranos even, you know, that places that can say, you know what, something's not right here, and actually be able to start these things from building up the way that they can?
Well, one of the things that I found really shocking about the Fyre Festival, and I don't think that this gets enough attention, is that people knew that something was very wrong, and they tried to warn all the investors and ticket goers, but nobody was listening. You know, I call them like the Cassandras of that event, because they were foretelling all this doom, but it was to empty ears. There were at least two people involved. There was one man who owned land in the Bahamas and saw firsthand what was going on, and another man who worked in the investing side and could tell something was very fishy. And they created a website. They created a Twitter account trying to warn people. Now, they were afraid to go on the record because they didn't want to be blamed when it inevitably failed with some kind of tortious interference claim. But, you know, if anyone had gotten off, any of the ticket holders had gotten off Instagram and gotten onto Google, like, you didn't need to be an investigative reporter to find all of these red flags everywhere. You just had to want to look. And unfortunately, people didn't have that impetus.
And that is a really good point. And I think, too, you know, I think, you know, as we kind of look at these different situations, again, as I mentioned, even getting into politics, as you show in the book, that a lot of times that is a thing. I mean, that people may be talking, but are there people who are willing to listen because it's not what they want to hear? Maybe, or, you know, is it a situation where, you know, they're thinking about what could be the repercussions? I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live, already having a great conversation with our guest today. We're excited to welcome journalist and author Gabrielle Bluestone to our program. She's the author of the new book called Hype, How Scammers, Grifters, and Con Artists Are Taking Over the Internet and Why We're Following. So let's go back to the why then for you, Gabrielle. What is it that made you say this was a topic you wanted to cover, and why did you decide to kind of build a book around this central theme of hype?
Yeah, so I was the original reporter who broke the Fyre Festival story. And so as I continued reporting out that story, which truly never ended, I mean, Billy McFarland, the CEO of Fyre Festival, even managed to get rearrested for a new set of felonies while he was out on bail for the Fyre Festival felonies. But while I was reporting that, I started to realize that what was most fascinating and I think most important about this story wasn't exactly what Billy McFarland got away with, but rather why it works so well and what it said about our culture and our society today, that those kind of scams would have such a runaway success. And so the more I dug into it, the more I realized that we are truly living in this post-truth hype world where the marketing is more important than the underlying product, where we've all tacitly agreed to accept this hype in lieu of the real deal, and there really aren't major consequences for people who overhype products or events or companies. They seem to really fail upwards, and I thought that was a very interesting phenomenon.
And I say, and the interviews that are in the book, and I think, too, the conversations that were had, I think really goes to this bigger point they're even talking about here, Gabrielle, about how, again, how people can be taken in, but even, you know, if there are people that are willing to talk, you know, will there be people to listen? Going back to the festival, one of the things, one of the individuals that we hear a lot from, of course, is Wales, and one of the things that was quoted there that I thought was really interesting was anyone who didn't any type of work at all would, for one, recognize the festival is not sold out because there are tickets for sale on the website, and then two, obviously, it's not the hottest festival because people can't even get here. I'm paraphrasing that last part for the radio. but I think, again, so like you were saying earlier, Gabrielle, I think for a lot of times it's just about, for one, people doing any type of due diligence, but also just taking other people's word at face value. What surprised you the most as a journalist, kind of being on the outside of it looking in, especially not only about the festival, but also some of the other examples, about how the Internet, for all its good, does seem to somehow continue to bring out the bad in so many?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a journalist, and I'm also a licensed attorney, and so facts, verifiable facts are like very important to me. You know, what you can lay out and draw conclusions from and what's real and what's there on the page. And so what was very surprising to me was to realize like how much we've shifted now where people are really operating generally with gut feelings. And I think the internet really contributes to that because no matter what you think is true, even if it flies in the face of what's common sense, you can find somewhere on the internet to back that up, right? So if you believe that COVID is not a real thing, or if you believe that masks don't work, or if you believe that, you know, the election was stolen, find evidence to support that. And so, you know, part of the problem, I think, is that, and then the algorithm certainly contributes to this, you know, it used to be, I think, that we would read the same news story and disagree about what was inside it. But now we're all reading completely different news stories and operating in these separate realities that I think the internet has really exacerbated. I think that's a large part of why we are so primed to be scammed.
I have to mention this because if I don't, my radio audience will bring it to my attention, Gabrielle, because you do talk about it, not just, of course, in the examples we've already cited, but I think anyone who is online these days knows that there's, you know, the influence of the social media influencers and or lack thereof. And even you address that in the book with hype, how, you know, even for one who wasn't able to sell 3 dozen shirts, you know, I mean, and supposed to have this large following. Do you think that also has played into now what's happening? Is that, you know, there is almost a smoke and mirrors of with who really is the authority and who has kind of put themselves up to be listened to?
Yeah, and one of the things that really surprised me, or I guess it seems obvious in retrospect, but when I thought of influencers, I thought of them as people who, you know, recommend products, and because of their expertise or their knowledge in that arena, people trust them. But really what it is this, it's a psychological connection, really, where the most successful influencers aren't the ones necessarily with the most followers. It's the ones who are able to present the most aspirational lifestyles, because what makes them successful influencers isn't that people trust their recommendation. It's that people want to be like them. So they want that product not because the influencer thinks it's a good product, but because that makes them more like that influencer. And so that element of human psychology certainly surprised me.
What was your hope, Gabrielle, when you finished Hype? What was your hope that it would do for readers?
I hope it makes people a little bit more cynical about what they are seeing and hearing. I think, you know, we've really started to accept the hype without thinking too much about it. We're taking it as fact. And so I hope anyone that reads this really thinks about, you know, their social media usage. For example, I, just as an experiment, I took Instagram off my phone. And it was kind of horrifying because I would almost like wake up to myself opening the app that had slid over to take its place, not realizing that I had like navigated there or that I was opening the app. And then I'd be like, how did I end up in this random app? It was kind of shocking how unconsciously I would do it. So I hope people really examine their relationship with social media, you know, how often they use it and what they're taking away from it.
And I think, and I have to say for myself, and I'd be sharing this in my review too, the thing that talking about, as we kind of talked about at the beginning, in the conversation about how it impacts us offline, and not just with an event, but even when it comes to the medical profession. I mean, as you're wrapping up the book, Gabrielle, you even give these examples of people talking about, you know, going into their doctor's offices, you know, wanting to look like a filtered picture, you know, and, mm-hmm. and even doctors may be, you know, even maybe photoshopping their own results of, you know, and, you know, I thought about some of these funny commercials I see sometimes about the weight loss where, you know, it's just a picture they've altered to show the before and after because the person's not actually wearing that same thing. I mean, so is that also part of the danger here that if we're not more aware how we could be putting ourselves in more jeopardy, trying to live up to something that's not real?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of the danger. You know, as consumers, we are also doing the scammers work for them because a lot of the time they, you know, we want so desperately for what they're offering us to be real that we are willing to ignore red flags, to ignore the fact that no surgeon can make you look like the Snapchat filter, no matter how much you enjoy the way you look, you know? And, you know, with the Fyre Festival, it was the same thing. Like, this was somebody offering the millennial Instagram users entree into this Instagram lifestyle that they would not otherwise be able to access. And so I think people wanted that so much that they didn't really do the research. They just bought the ticket and hoped for the best. So I really hope it makes us kind of wake up and realize, you know, how much work we're doing on behalf of the scammers too.
Yeah. It's a really good point, and it's a really, really good book. So I have to ask you this question as we wrap up because, you know, you and I are having this conversation like this is just a normal time. Of course, we're not living in normal times right now. I mean, things are still different. Things are better than they were a year ago. How have you been sharing the message of hype now? Have you found that virtual events have kind of given you a larger platform, or what ways have you been kind of maneuvering, Gabrielle, to share the message of the book?
Yeah, so it's been really interesting trying to launch this book, you know, in a new world where everything is virtual, especially because it concerns so many virtual issues.
Right.
But, you know, I think the traditional routes of media are still strong. I've been enjoying doing radio interviews, newspaper, phone, podcast. You know, there's definitely still a way to connect with people, which I'm really grateful for. And I'm hoping, you know, as the U.S. continues to ramp up vaccinations and it looks like things are getting a little bit better, that we might even get to talk in person soon.
Yeah, I know. It seems like such a crazy thing to wish for, right? But that's where we are, right? We'll take what we can get. In the interim, though, invite you guys to head over to our friends at Amazon.com or to your local bookstore, either online or in person if they're open, and get your copy of Hype, How Scammers, Grifters, and Con Artists Are Taking Over the Internet and Why We're Following. The author, again, is journalist and author Gabrielle Bluestone. And Gabrielle, how can our audience stay connected with you?
You can follow me on Instagram at gbluestone or on Twitter at g_bluestone.
All right. Gabrielle, congratulations to you again. So glad we had a chance to chat and looking forward to our next conversation together.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Oh, the pleasure is definitely all ours. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Now let's go make today amazing. Take care.